Today's readings from Philippians 3 from verse 12. That's on page 981 on your church Bible. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us, for many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved.
Welcome. It's really good to have you with us. As Shar said, my name's Kev. I'm the minister of the church. Really great, especially if you're visiting us today. We're thrilled that you've come to join us, or if you've been here for the kids' light party downstairs. Well done for escaping that and being able to come up here. Don't celebrate victory too soon. That's the point, unless you want to look like a total idiot. None of them was actually my favourite clip, though. I think Callum's going to show us my favourite premature celebration. Look at this guy. Here we go. Big celebrate. Uh-oh, just before the line. That's not a good look, is it? So, yay. Awkward. Awkward, awkward. I love this. It's like pretending I'm cool with it. Yeah, I'm cool with it. No, you're not. Don't worry. You still got a medal, I think. Anyway, no early celebrations from the Apostle Paul. Did you notice that in our reading? Not that I've already obtained this. I press on, straining forward, I press on towards the goal. So we're in the Olympic Stadium for this passage. Get your running kit on. Come with me to the track side, where we're part way through a race. All of us are the participants, and the event is called the Christian life. Are you straining forwards still? Have you got complacent, like some of those guys on the video? Maybe slowed down to a gentle jog. Maybe you're thinking of dropping out of the race completely. You know, when people leave Euston Church, which many do every year because of the transient nature of London, my prayer for them, my prayer for you, if you're leaving soon, is that this season here won't turn out to have been the high point of your Christian life. And that's something that I remember praying first for myself when I left university, which for me had been a tremendous time of growth and learning and reaching out to friends. I was involved in missions for the first time. But what would the next phase of the race be like? And this really is Paul's prayer for the Philippians. They're not leaving university, but he's on the way out. They've clearly had a season of great growth. But all the way through this letter, his heart has been for more and more from them. More and more fruit, more and more sacrificial service, that there'll be more and more all out for Jesus. Just easy, isn't it, as you go on a bit, to slow life down to a jog spiritually? Or rest on laurels, previous things we've done for God. Maybe it can be particularly tempting to do that when the going gets tough. Do you know, I know plenty of my friends from back in those university days who've given up the race completely now. Guttingly. You don't want to be that kind of Christian, do you? And if you're looking in on Christian things with us today, well, I wonder what you'll make of this description of the Christian life. The first thing is about keeping on thinking maturely about the race. And so we're in the 10,000 meters final, say. It's a 25-lap race, if my maths is right. You've had a really good first three laps, and you think to yourself, I've had a really good first three laps. I think I'll stop and celebrate how well it's been going so far. That would clearly be a very childish thing after three laps of a 25-lap race. Listen to Paul in verse 12. Not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on. What's the this that he's not already obtained? Well, obviously he hasn't yet obtained his resurrection body. That was the thing he was just talking about in verse 11. But he goes on to say, or I'm already perfect. That word means mature. Suggests the whole package from verses 9 to 11. All of this, knowing Christ, sharing in his suffering, is not something that Paul thinks he's fully arrived in. And I think it's quite encouraging to hear Paul say he's not already perfect, because we're meant to be copying him as an example. And he was sounding pretty spiritually red hot last week, wasn't he? Everything's rubbish compared to knowing Jesus. I even want to suffer like him, because in that I'll kind of know him better in the suffering. Easy to imagine Paul as the kind of superhero Christian standing at the top of the Empire State Building with his cape waving in the background, the finished product. Surely if anyone could say they'd made it Christianly, it was Paul. Remember his religious CV, that heritage? The years of law-keeping, add on to that all his work for Jesus, his evangelization of a continent. This guy wrote half the New Testament. I mean, if you had that on your CV, we'd be quite impressed. You know, I've been involved in this little writing project called the Bible. You know, really should read it sometime. Paul's been a Christian for over 20 years. He's planted churches. Hundreds, probably thousands, converted directly through his ministry. He's got the scars and the jail sentence now that prove his commitment to the cause. And yet, not that I've already obtained all this. Not that I'm already perfect. I do not consider I've made it my own. Reminds me of a prayer that he prayed right back at the beginning of chapter 1. If you weren't here, we looked at this prayer. Maybe, are we still praying this prayer for one another? The prayer for more and more love, filled with the fruit, no resting on laurels. And so that's why back here in chapter 3, verse 13, as he talks about his own example, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. Forgetting what lies behind, well, that certainly is going to include not thinking about his religious record of achievement. We know that's not the thing to focus on. Probably also includes the other things we were chasing that are all rubbish compared to knowing Christ, forget them too. So we're not straining for career or status anymore. And I think as well, forgetting in a sense past achievements in the Christian life, in the sense that Paul is in prison, surely this would be an excuse to rest on his laurels. But no, to live is always Christ. So this is just the latest opportunity to press on into cross-shaped, gospel-advancing living. Always straining forward, he is. And he says, let those of us who are mature think this way. Easy to define maturity just in terms of what lies behind. How old someone is. How long they've been a Christian. Their track record of doing stuff for Jesus. Paul says Christian maturity has its eyes forward. So, yeah, you were really stuck in during mission week when you were a student. You did camp 10 years in a row. Well done. Are you still straining forward? Maybe you've only started the Christian life in the last couple of months. You've had a good start. Brilliant. that we finish the race. You might have 70 more years to go. Are you still hungry to know Jesus, to grow more and more gospel partnership and striving? Or have you slowed down to a jog? Now, of course, we'll look back with thanks to God for our journey so far and the things he's done in our lives, the places that he's brought us from. But a good first 5 or 10 laps means nothing if you don't make it to the end. And actually, do you know, I was thinking, aren't you glad that you can forget what lies behind in your race so far? Because my record over the last 20, 30 years is littered with failures. Ways I've failed as a Christian, failed as a leader of youth and church. You'll feel aware of the ways that you've not served Jesus like you could have and should have if you've been following him for any length of time. Well, thank the Lord you can kind of put all of that out of your mind as well. Straining forward, I press on. Verse 15, Paul's having a little joke on words. It's a play on words. It's not very funny in English, but perfect in verse 12 is the same word as mature in verse 15. Real maturity says, I'm not as mature as I should be. I'm not as mature as I will be. And notice there's no insecurity here. You know, in sports psychology, they want the runners to have the confidence that they're going to win, combined with the drive that says we're not there yet. That's quite a tricky thing. Actually, I think only Christians can really run the race the way the psychologists try to train the athletes. Verse 12, Jesus has made me his own. That's for sure. Just keep going and I'll definitely win the prize. So I strain forward. And while this all just can feel a bit exhausting, I think it's meant to settle the Philippians. They're concerned about Paul in prison. But his situation is not so much an obstacle as another opportunity for cross-shaped discipleship. They are facing more opposition themselves, it seems. Another opportunity to push on in the Christian life and not to shrink back. Pressure in their relationships emerging. Another opportunity for selfless service. See, I think we Christians tend to think that circumstances are the thing that we need to control so that we can grow and be effective in ministry and mission. But God's not waiting for the circumstances to be right. All of life is an opportunity to strain forward in the way of the cross. And isn't it amazing when you see Christians who were keen when they were young, still sold out for Jesus in the parenthood phase, or the retirement phase, or the bereavement phase, still keen in their 30s, 50s, 80s. And again, that can just sound exhausting. Maybe you found the first 10 years of the Christian life fatiguing. How will we keep going? Well, this is our second point. It's what you'd expect, kind of. It's keep your eyes on the prize, kind of. But more precisely, it's keep your eyes on people who have their eyes on the prize. Because you need to fix your eyes on the right kind of running buddies is the thing. And Paul gives us something really tangible here, which I'm really grateful for at this stage in Philippians, because so much of it has been just really big picture stuff, hasn't it? I like something really concrete that I can latch on to. Well, here's something in verse 17. Join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. You need buddies to run with is the thing. So this is me showing off. I did a half marathon a couple of years. It's not really showing off. I know some you've all done half marathons, haven't you? This is my medal just to prove to you that it's got a cow with some sunglasses on it. So it's not exactly classy as an Olympic medal. And the only reason I was able to do it, the thing that kept me going was not the thought of the medal. It was my brother. He was my running buddy. And it was his idea that we would do the half marathon 1 week before the event, anyway. But he paced us, planned it, talked to me all the way through the journey. And it, to be honest, was just a real bonding experience. It was almost a spiritual experience. I felt like the only reason that I've been able to do this is because he's running alongside me. Till the last 20 metres when I sprinted off to the front to make sure I finished ahead of him. Anyway, no, I didn't quite do that. We did run over the line together. But I made sure my leg got across first. And really annoyingly for him, it came out on the computer that I beat him by 1 second. So there you go. But the point is, keep your eyes on the right kind of buddies to keep going in the race. And it's important to know there's a kind of person not to run with. Verse 18, people make bad running buddies. For many, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and their glory is their shame, with mind set on earthly things. Now, it's not totally clear who this refers to. Clearly, London, the world around us, is focused on earthly things and appetites. He may have in mind the religious people from last week, that God is their belly, maybe their obsession with food laws, glorying in their shame, maybe circumcision. Whoever it is precisely, they're not good running buddies for Christians, because the main thing about them, their mindset on earthly things. Now, we need to say, this earth is good, God made it, but if you set your focus on earthly things, it will be a very different kind of Christian life. Your God is your belly, it says. It's quite a good line for the person who steals the last biscuit later, isn't it? Probably my son, actually. But imagine a runner whose God is his belly. You know, actually, I gave up halfway around the 5,000 meters because I really fancied a Big Mac. That would be terrible. Well, look out for people who do the spiritual equivalent. They stop focusing on the prize at the end and put their focus on earthly appetites here and now. Paul's tears, I think, suggest that these people have been part of the Christian community. And there are all kinds of ways that churches and Christians can become totally earthly focused, whether that's religious appetites that make it about tangible religion here and now, material appetites, the prosperity gospel of health and wealth that offers the benefits without taking up your cross. Even spiritual gifts and talking about serving can become earthly focused when that's about my status in church rather than sacrificial service. I wonder if one of the biggest dangers for us in this city is just a kind of settle down, calm down, pipe down kind of Christianity that doesn't rock too many boats. Well, that is not the path to the prize. Enemies of the cross is very strong language, isn't it? But we looked at something last week, the Nike swoosh, that is the pattern of Jesus, we said, the pattern of going down the curve before you come up the curve, down into suffering before up to glory. Actually, you will only go down the curve in the way of the cross when you are clear on that glorious future. If you're not clear on anything in the future, then you won't walk down the way of the cross. And that joy that we said last week is the thing that will keep us living for Christ, energized on the race. It's a future-focused joy all the way through this chapter, all the way through this letter. Remember, to live is Christ, to die is gain. More and more fruits of righteousness for that day of Christ. Run with people who are clear on both the path now and the destination. Paul says, follow his example. Well, what is his example? Verse 20. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Our citizenship is in heaven. Philippi was a city-state. In that sense, it was a bit like Singapore, you know, proud of its identity as a city-state. They were Roman citizens with all of the privileges and securities of that. And people get excited about citizenship, don't they? Some people get excited to be UK citizens. I know some of you have done the exam that you have to do to become a UK citizen. They ask you questions like, how many MPs are there in the Welsh Parliament? Which is ridiculous because no one knows, even the MPs in the Welsh Parliament don't know how many MPs there are in the Welsh Parliament. Anyway, don't be excited about that kind of citizenship. Follow the example of people who talk about a better homeland than the one they belong to here. You know, when my old granddad died, I remember it said on the front of the order of service at the funeral, Robert Hay called home to the Lord. And then the day it called home was how they used to talk about friends who died. Follow the example of people who are excited about lowly bodies being transformed. You know, I love here that it adds that Jesus is going to transform our bodies by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself. Because it's going to take some mighty power to transform me to be not only healthy and everlasting, but sinless. That's the real miracle. The power of Jesus will do it. Run alongside people who are waiting for him. We're not just waiting for a place, but for a person. Jesus, who lowered himself to take on our likeness, will transform our lowly bodies into his glorious likeness. So Paul's your first running buddy. Don't grow out of him. Don't think he's a bit too keen or extreme, the apostle. But he's not the only running buddy. Do you remember Epaphroditus? We met him a couple of weeks ago. Paul's on the way out, but Epaphroditus is on the way back to Philippi. He's just a normal bloke from their church. Honor such men, it said. He nearly died for the work of Christ. We'll honor him by being like him. I wonder, do you have people you know in your life, people in this church, who walk according to Paul's example? It won't be perfect, obviously, but you'll see it in what keeps them going in the tough times, in what keeps them serving and being bold for Jesus. You'll see it in where their joy is and how they deal with conflict, disappointments, knockbacks in evangelism. Latch on to people like that. Watch them, not in a weird way, but watch their life. And when you leave this place, please find good running buddies who are pressing on towards the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And let's be that kind of running buddies to one another. Shall we do that here? You know, people often say to me, there's so many young people in Euston Church. And sometimes people mean that nicely. Sometimes they don't, though, actually. Sometimes they mean, therefore, lack of maturity, therefore, lack of depth. But on this definition, you can be mature in your 20s and 30s if you're focused on the future prize and striving towards it. Should we be a mature church together in that way? Which is partly to say, I hope it's all right to get excited about heaven here. You know, you can think it's a bit pious to talk about heaven or a bit head in the clouds. I'm really excited about verse 21 because my heart's so slow to warm to Jesus and to change, to be like him. Can't wait to be transformed. I wonder what you're excited about. Talk to me about it. Talk to each other. I need you to. I need your example if I'm going to keep going in this race. And I'll try to be an example to you as well. Because we're all following someone's example, aren't we? The question is just, who's it going to be? We're all pressing on to some goal. The question is just, what goal are we pressing on to? I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.